You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show with Sal Capaccio, brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com.
So the Bills brought in a New York Jet via trade, Brandon Codrington, and they bring in a New York Jet reportedly via a former New York Jet, I should say, and then former Miami Dolphin most recently via practice squad. That is Mike White. And here to talk about both those things and the New York Jets, my guy Boy Green, host of Boy Green Daily, Manchild Show out in Syracuse. We love talking to him. Paul Esden, what's up, buddy? How are you?
Sal, I always love when we get to connect, baby. I wish the Bills and Jets played 17 times a year so we could talk on a week-to-week basis. But I love it, man. Anytime we could chat is great.
Yeah, you're right. The first time they play this year, a Monday night in New York, once again, the way they opened up last year. Hopefully, for both teams' sakes, it turns out differently. And I say that because, obviously, you know, last year, being in that stadium when Aaron Rodgers went down, it was so tough as a football fan, right? I'm on the sidelines covering the Buffalo Bills on the radio network, but, you know, just, what, five, six, seven plays in, you would know better than me.
Four.
There you go. Sorry. He goes down, and it was just such an air out of the balloon of that stadium, obviously. No one really knew what was happening. And then the Bills wind up losing. The Jets beat them in overtime. The season doesn't go the way the Jets want. They don't have, you know, the quarterback in place. So hopefully from both standpoints there, you know, we have a better game that we can kind of judge these teams on.
I couldn't agree more. Yeah. And I think it's almost like a virtual agreement between every team. Like, hey, no injuries, right? No injuries. Okay, great. Let's line up, lace them up, and let's go. So 100%, that's how I feel. I feel bad for Buffalo since you twisted me about four plays in and make you get that number up. Matt Milano, man, that sucks, man.
Yeah.
The league is a better place when Matt Milano's in it. I'm preaching to everybody something everyone already knows, man. One of the best linebackers of football, one of the best players on the Bills. He deserves more love, quite frankly, from the national media. That sucks, man. That's especially after everything he went through last year. It's brutal.
Yeah, for sure. And unfortunately, it is the nature of the business, these injuries. The Bills have one at their quarterback position, Mitch Trubisky. So reportedly, they're going to sign Mike White to the practice squad. And then we'll see. Does he get elevated or does he even take the spot of Trubisky who goes on IR? We'll see how all that plays out. But you're very familiar with Mike White as he spent time, obviously, in New York. We saw him play even over the last couple of years. What can you tell us about his style of play?
He's a big boy, man. He's 6'5". He's got the size you look for. He's a former high school pitcher, threw 90 miles an hour back there in high school. He has a rocket arm. That's one of his calling cards when he came into the draft. He was a fifth-round draft choice a bunch of years ago. He's just a big guy. But when Mike White is operating at full flower, Mike White is running a system. He's running an offense. His first career start with the Jets is when the Jets beat the Cincinnati Bengals 34-31. That was back in 2021. That was the year the Bengals ended up going to the Super Bowl, and he set all kinds of records. He was 37 of 45 in that game at 405 passing yards. Like, it was this crazy game, and people go, whoa, he must have been Patrick Mahomes out there. But really, he was just taking what the defense gave him, and that first game was picturesque. That is vintage Mike White when he's rolling and he has things around him. Maybe you could say that about any quarterback when they have things around him that they can do it. But that's where Mike White is absolutely best. So a lot of Jet fans around here, even media a little bit, said, ooh, maybe Mike White practice squad for the Jets because you can never have enough quarterback insurance. But I wouldn't blame Mike White if he had options to go to Buffalo for everything you're saying with the Trubisky thing. I'm sure he sees the path to get back in it, and apparently he's pretty comfortable in the AFC East.
Yeah, that's right. And, you know, for me, I look at it too. I mean, who better to run the scout team that week two game against Miami? The Bills play the Cardinals September 8th, and then 5 days later, they're in Miami. They're going to have to get up to speed very, very quickly against Miami, and this is a great scenario for a guy that was just with them all of training camp in the offseason.
Brain drain, baby. Some people look at it sideways. I don't. It's part of the game. Bill Belichick did it for 1,000 years. You bring guys in, and I think, to be honest, I think it's more than just a token move here. I think Mike White could legitimately either be QB3 practice squad or path to QB2 for the Buffalo Bills, and you feel great about it. But even to your point, the short weeks, Jets have 3 games in 10 days off the start of the season.
Yeah.
So 100%. When you get these kind of opportunities, you get a guy in Mike White who had been around Mike McDaniel for a year and a half, I think that's invaluable. 100%. It makes a ton of sense for the Buffalo Bills. It's going to be a great advantage, I think, heading into that game.
When you look at Mike White's stats, 9 touchdowns, 13 interceptions, is that because he's a gunslinger? Is he making bad decisions? Why do those numbers pop out?
I think the bad thing about Mike White is it is a little bit when the snowball starts rolling downhill, so to speak, and all of a sudden all hell starts breaking loose. So he could get a little bit in his own head that, you know, I noticed, you know, in my own answer of the Bengals start, you're like, ooh, historic. I cherry picked stats. I didn't mention that he had two picks and he nearly had a third in that game. So, you know, he could get a little loose with some of the turnovers. And I think he gets in his own brain. He does not have short term memory loss. If he makes a mistake, that can often lead to multiple mistakes. So really, again, it's situation. It's the confidence. I think that's a big thing for Mike White. When he's playing well, the confidence is high. When the confidence wanes, something doesn't go his way, that's where things can kind of collapse. And that was, you know, that was evident throughout his Jets tenure. He ended up being there for like 4 years, 2019 through like 2022.
Yeah, and I want to ask you, through that time, no real rushing stats. Obviously, with Josh Allen here in Buffalo, you'd love a carbon copy to not change the offense, but it doesn't look like White ran the ball. What about an athlete, though? Can he move around back there?
Yeah, there is some movement. I would, you know, this is the only time I'm sure I'll ever compare him to Tom Brady, but there's the slight pocket adjustments. Tom Brady was never that. Lamar Jackson, but it's a little,
right?
A little shimmy. It's like one of those dances, you know, you're doing the sauce. 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, 4. He could do a little bit of that from a pocket movement standpoint. But again, you're not going to, it's not going to be that Spider-Man meme where Tobey Maguire's like, wait, what is that? And then he rubs his glasses and looks, oh, Josh Allen. That will not be happening with Mike White.
All right. Paul Esden joining me here on the Wester Hotline of the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Boy Green Daily is his Jets podcast, and you got an up-close view of Brandon Codrington, the Buffalo Bills' new return man. So the Bills basically move on from Daquan Hardy. They bring in Codrington for a swap of late-round picks in 2026. So basically the Jets said, okay, we'll give them to you. So why would the Jets want to move on, and what kind of player are the Bills getting?
Man, I think some Jets people are kind of not Jets people in the building, but Jets people outside of it, kind of nervous. Like, man, that's kind of, seems kind of weird to gift wrap this guy. He's a smaller guy. He's only like 5'7", maybe 175 pounds soaking wet. He's a smaller guy, but he's got a great story. He was an undrafted free agent. He tries out in the rookie minicamp in May, makes the team. We're keeping an eye on him. Again, technically speaking, on the depth chart, he was the reserve to Michael Carter II. So he could serve that role behind Taron Johnson a little bit over there in Buffalo as at nickel reserve. But beyond that, I don't know how much from a defensive standpoint he's going to bring to the table. Again, he's incredibly small, and there wasn't a big sample size from the preseason of great play. We're like, oh, okay, there is defense he could bring here. This would be, again, I'm going to compare it to another guy that the only way I'm comparing him is in this light. Devin Hester, he was a receiver on the stat sheet, but he was a returner.
Right.
Codrington, you're bringing in as this return specialist. And boy, the juice of the preseason was exciting at a 63-yard kick return against Carolina. And after the game, he was telling a lot of the media, I love the new kickoff rules. He thinks it's – he called it easier. They went, whoa, 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 whoa. I don't want to say easier. Let me not make that a headline. He just said, I think it's better, man, because it's a – he basically described it as a long running play. And you could see visions. You could see lanes as things are developing. So, you know, I know a lot of people, it's an interesting issue where people are on both sides of whether it's a good thing or bad thing. Codrington is a major fan. He said it with his words, but also the production, both punt return and kick return. He did a spectacular job. So Codrington, an exciting return, man, a dart throw. Why the Jets gave him away is I think they just didn't want to keep the extra corner. They had a little bit of a surprise with Jerick Bernard Converse, surprising them and making the roster, making them as their sixth corner. I didn't think they wanted to keep a seventh corner. So it was kind of a numbers game. Again, talented return, man, a great dart throw for Buffalo, no question.
All right. So what about in the return game, who do they have? Like, who are they replacing him with? If he was this dynamic return man and we saw what he did, why would the Jets be comfortable there?
So one guy you're intimately familiar with in Buffalo, Xavier Gibson, he's got the lean on one side. And then the Jets invested draft choices this year, and they've almost committed to that. So it's almost like, and Sal, I'm sure you could speak to this as well as I can, that teams have a plan. Okay, we're drafting this. We need this. We're drafting this. This fills this. And then you get surprised. Like Codrington kind of comes out of nowhere like, whoa. All right, we weren't anticipating that. What I mean, Malachi Corley was a third-round draft choice. They've been throwing him back there a little bit. Isaiah Davis, fifth-round draft choice. They've been throwing him back there a little bit. So Codrington had some competition for some of these situations, but the Jets were getting a little cute with how they used their rosters and starters. They sat out a ton of players throughout the entire preseason. So that gave Codrington maybe bonus reps he necessarily wouldn't have gotten if Corley and Davis and all these guys were playing the full amount of reps that they were supposed to play. So that was a pivot – in mid-moment from Saleh as he was heading into the preseason. So, again, it's almost like Kadrick did kind of slip through the cracks. The Jets committed to the plan of Corley, Isaiah Davis, Xavier Gibson, and a few of those kind of guys. And thus, there was just no path for Kadrickton. If he couldn't contribute on defense outside of Michael Carter the second injury, then the only way it was as a returner, and they liked other returners despite how well he performed in the preseason. The broken tackle rate, like, look at that for people
that
missed it. Yeah, I
saw Ryan Talbot tweeted about that yesterday. You might have the stats too, but I know Ryan Talbot, who covers the Bills here locally, you know, he had like 15 missed tackles or something in the preseason.
Yeah, on 8 returns. Like, good Lord. That means he's breaking two man's ankles at every return. Pretty good math there. So he's wily. And of course, you have to be when you're 5'7", 170 pounds soaking wet. You have to have a little bit of that wiggle. But he's just got great Ferrari, like 0-60, stop, go, see this, bang, bing, boom, bam. And again, when you look at some of the, like, the combine numbers and pro day numbers, he doesn't look exceptionally fast, but he's way faster in game with the pads on, which everyone prefers anyway, than you are in t-shirt and shorts. So he's just got really intriguing abilities. Squirrely. He's just a little bastard running around out there like Darren Sproulsing it all over the place. So he's an exciting player.
6 returns, 4 fair catches, 13.8 yards. One of the reasons why the Bills made this move is I don't think they were very comfortable with the decision-making of Daquan Hardy, a rookie. They were putting him here. That's tough in this stadium, right? We know that. The wind swirls. You know, it's a tougher deal here, I think, than it is in most places in the NFL. It's very challenging. What about decision-making, just fielding the punt, catching the punt? Any issues there?
Zero issues there this offseason. And again, even in moments that, like, for a guy like Brandon Kadrickton, remember, an undrafted free agent, you get a moment, you're like, we got to go. I don't know how many returns I'm going to get.
Yeah.
And despite that, you know, that thought process, that's me out watching the game. I'm like, boy, I'd be thinking twice and three times about that to make sure I get enough opportunity. I got to make a play. But sometimes the better play is not making the play. And he did that on kickoffs where he just called fair catches. He did that on punts where he had no real issues. So no muffing, no fumbling, no second thought. He had a lot of conviction, which I think is obviously what you want in a return man. He has it. He looks at his lane. He's like, okay, I got this. And he goes. So yeah, zero issues from that department.
Paul, I mean, as best you can, kind of tell us what's happening with Hassan Reddick, how we got to this point, how the Jets got to this point, and where it's going to go.
100%. You know, again, we had a chat a bunch of months ago. I couldn't remember here on the radio. And again, my concern was like, nah, they're going to figure it out. And then like a week goes by, they're going to figure it out, right? And then it just, you know, I'm getting higher register, higher register, higher register. And basically, long story short, it is, this was a word in Jets land last offseason with leverage between the Green Bay Packers and New York Jets. We all knew that Aaron Rodgers was eventually going to end up there, but how are we going to get there on leverage? Leverage returns this offseason with the Jets having his rights. Again, Hassan Reddick is under contract. He is unhappy with making $14.25 million. He would like to double that figure and be in the $28 million range. The Jets are like, well, you're not a free agent, so you don't get to just command any number that you want. So there is an awkward kind of game of chicken here where the Jets hold his rights. He's been fined. We're here, you know, this week. He's just under $5 million in fines now. That is for skipping OTAs, skipping mandatory minicamp, skipping training camp. There was an optional discretionary fine that looks like the Jets exercised, plus obviously every game check of the preseason miss, which is an additional $2.37 million. So he's just under $5 million now, and obviously those numbers are about to get a lot heftier as we get into the regular season. And let's make this clear. If Reddick didn't show up all year and people say, oh, he's going to pull Le'Veon Bell, the Jets would hold his rights in 2025. So, again, at some point, Reddick has to show up for a period of time for the season to count. I don't know if he's going to push it that far because right now Hassan Reddick is 29. He turns 30 in a month. Is he going to play 7 games this season, get 5 sacks, and say, aha, I'm 30 turning 31 next year. Pay me, somebody. I don't think anyone's going to pay him the money he's looking for. So I think eventually the Jets win this, quote unquote, and he's going to show up. But I think it creeps into the regular season. It could be as early as skips week one. We see the Chris Jones last year, Chiefs, Lions, Chiefs lose. And then they're like, oh boy, let's get Chris Jones in here. Let's stop playing around. It could be the same thing. 49ers, right? They have Trent Williams. It could be that same thing. Misses week one, then goes in. I think what happened to that 49ers game, this seems like crazy ominous to say right from the get-go, but if the Jets are able to create a pass rush without Hassan Reddick week one and beat the 49ers, all of a sudden Reddick might come crawling back to one Jets drive. But if it's the other way and there's no pass rush and Brock Purdy's just sitting patting the ball all day, Joe Montana all over the place, oh boy. Reddick's like, yeah, I'm going to turn my phone on from vibrate to sound full on. I'm going to make sure that volume's all the way up. And then maybe the Jets are going to quickly bring him in and counter and give him what he's looking for. But long story short, it's an awkward game of chicken. Neither side thought it was going to get here. And now we're at this uncomfortable position right before the season.
I'm glad you brought up the schedule. That week one game is obviously a really big game. It's West Coast. It's Monday Night Football. After that, you know, Tennessee, New England, Denver, Minnesota, very, very winnable games for the New York Jets. I mean, they should be 4-1 at worst, looking at the schedule. At least you never know. Denver could be better than we think, right? Mm-hmm. And then you have that Buffalo Bills game. They need to get off to a good start. The back end of the schedule gets a little bit tougher, but they have some opportunity here. That said, I think we all recognize it's all about Aaron Rodgers and his health. If Aaron Rodgers is healthy, he plays the full season, they're going to challenge. They have a great defense and obviously the weapons they have on offense. We know that if that's not the case, but let's just say, you know, otherwise, where else would their concern be? What would hold the Jets back other than Aaron Rodgers? If Aaron Rodgers is healthy, is there another place where Jets fans go, I just don't know if that part of the team is good enough to contend?
Yeah, it would have to be. I don't know if they have those questions right now because, you know, everyone's undefeated. We're all tied for first place in the AFC East. But it's the offensive line, of course, staying healthy in itself and playing up to snuff for that matter. So you have Tyron Smith, 33 years old. Morgan Moses, 33 years old. AVT's coming off a torn Achilles and the year before had a torn tricep. So back-to-back injuries have been thrown in there. Joe Tippmann had the yips. He was throwing snaps at the center position, pegging guys for selling hot dogs at the Jets practices. So, like, he had some yips early in camp. It seems like he's reined that in a little bit. And then the kind of quiet guy no one's been talking about, and that should be good news from an offensive line perspective, is John Simpson. So it is that five. If that five stays together, I think it's got top 10 potential. If it does not, oh boy. Well, we all know what the floor is because the Jets had horrible offensive line play this past season. So really, it's offensive line just being there. They have a couple insurance policies. Obviously, Olu Fashanu was the 11th overall pick. He had a little bit of an injury at the end of camp, but it doesn't look serious. So that's ultimate insurance if Tyron or Morgan were out. So that's one area. And then I would say another one is wide receiver. Garrett Wilson's awesome. He's going to be great. Mm-hmm. But what about everybody else? Mike Williams is coming off a torn ACL. He did return to team drills this week. That's the last step before he's ready for week one. So he's going to have about a week and a half, 2 weeks of team drills before week one. So he'll probably have a package similar to last year when Jets Bills played and Breece Hall was on a bit of a pitch count. I think we're going to have the same thing there with Mike Williams. But put Mike Williams aside, put Garrett Wilson aside, Alan Lazard, Xavier Gibson, Malachi Corley. There's a lot more questions and answers as it pertains to that wide receiver room. So if, God forbid, anything happened to Garrett Wilson, he's Batman in this wide receiver room. But where's Robin? Where's the rest of the A-team, the Avengers, the Justice League? Where is everybody else? Depth, suddenly, if you start to squint at the wide receiver room, it doesn't look as great as it does on the surface.
All right. And finally, as we wrap up here, Paul, and I really appreciate your time here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. I mean, I think I mentioned to you a while back, the two teams with the longest droughts in sports right now are the New York Jets and the Buffalo Sabres as far as making the playoffs. The other thing they have in common is they've gone through a lot of coaches. So we have a new one here again, a new one, and there's an old one, Lindy Ruff.
Yeah.
Coaches for the New York Jets. We've seen a lot of them. How early would it have to go bad for a change to be made? Or is it just simply, hey, it's Joe Douglas and Robert Saleh, and at the end of the year, it's black and white. They either go to the playoffs and they're fine, or they don't and they're out.
Woody Johnson, in his ownership, 24 years of ownership so far, he has never fired a coach mid-season. So history says that it will not happen. But, man, to try to describe how livid Woody was at the end of last year and embarrassed, again, all the primetime games that the Jets had, and it is what it is, that they were already in outside of future flexing opportunities for what was later in the season. Woody was embarrassed in all those primetime games. He was embarrassed when they go 3-4 games without an offensive touchdown, and the defense is holding, like, for a perfect example, they play the Falcons last year, you lose 13-8, and it's a brutal snail pace game. The Jets Giants one was another one, and Woody's just embarrassed and angrier on a week to week basis. So you can never trifle with a very angry multi-billionaire. Anything can happen, but history says it won't. But boy, it would have to be, I think someone's getting pushed in front of the bus, if I'm going to be honest, before we get to the solid. Hey, Sean McDermott, right? Ken Dorsey, You're out of here. All of a sudden, you have a fall guy. We all need a fall guy in life. Fall guy is Nathaniel Hackett, I think. If things are going bad on offense, and they have Aaron Rodgers, they have everybody, I think Sal was pushing Nathaniel Hackett in front of the bus. He's like, oh, well, I guess he's gone. Because he had done that before with some other coaches in the past. If things are going a little awkward and Woody's like, hey, what's going on here with the staff? He has sacrificed people before. So I think Nathaniel Hackett, to be honest, would be the guy, and it'd be somewhere in that first. Again, the Jets buys until week 12, but somewhere in that like first 2 months, if like there is something happening there, or maybe even shorter, maybe a month and a half for 6-7 games of the season, if the offense just isn't operating, that's going to be a tough pill to swallow for Woody, and I'm sure he's going to want blood.
You're not a fall guy. You're a riser, pal. I love it. You're rising up.
Let's go, baby.
Love you doing your thing. Love listening to you, Boy Green. You can find him on the Man Child Show in Syracuse. By the way, opener for Syracuse coming up this weekend, right? Fran Brown, I know you're out there. You guys talk about him real quickly on that.
Yeah.
I think I love what he's doing recruiting-wise. We have to find out if he can coach, right? So that's gonna happen, you know, starting this week. I mean, the vibes are great, right? What are the vibes in Central New York from being close to it?
They're crazy, man. Yeah. Again, the recruiting has just been awesome. I can't, man, I have to go back to end of Paul Pasqualoni to get like the last golden era where Syracuse was cranking out crazy talent like the Dwight Freeney's of the world. And think about that. Like, God, Dwight Freeney, he just went into the Pro Football Hall of Fame. That's at least five years after your career. So all of that, he has been born and died. He's come full circle through his football career before Syracuse has been fully back. So the energy is palpable. The fans are really excited, but I think they have the same question you just said, Sal. Can the guy coach? He's never been a head coach before. No. He's been a co-defensive coordinator once. Like, there's a lot of missing there, and they're going to get tested. I mean, week one, Ohio Bobcats 5. There's nothing there. But they played Georgia Tech week 2, who beat Florida State in week 0, a top 10 team in Ireland. So they will have a few tests. The schedule overall is pretty manageable. But, yeah, energy's crazy. I think Syracuse fans are long overdue. They've been waiting. They've been craving a moment like this, and they think they have it this year, especially with Kyle McCord at quarterback.
Great stuff, buddy. If you want to listen out to Syracuse and hear the stuff on the Syracuse football scene and the Syracuse basketball scene, of course, you're not just covering the New York Jets. I know you love your Jets,
yes,
but you're out there in Syracuse. Tell everybody where they can find the radio show and online stuff for you.
100%. It's the Man Shout Show with Boy Green. That's the Score 1260, the dial locally. You can also find that at the Score 1260 app and the score1260.com. We're live Monday through Friday from 10 to 12. And yeah, you're right. We're talking everything. Jets, Giants, Bills, Syracuse, Yankees, Mets, you know, you're a Yankees guy. All that jazz is happening on the show, and all my Jets stuff. I'm live every day in the morning at 7:30 a.m. and excited. Ian O'Connor, the 4-time New York Times bestselling author, will be joining me tomorrow morning to talk about his book, which I'm excited about. So, yeah, man, we're cranking it, baby. Boy Green Daily, wherever you find your podcast.
I love that. Love it for sure. Thanks a lot, buddy. Really appreciate you. We'll catch up, obviously, soon, I'm sure, before the Bills play the Jets in October at least.
Can't wait. Thanks, brother.
That is Boy Green, of course, covering the Jets. Great stuff. Brandon Codrington, Mike White, what to expect from the Bills for them, coming to the Bills, what he's seen from them with the Jets for Mike White a couple of years ago, last few years, I should say. Brandon Codrington. The Bills have finalized their initial 53-man roster. That could literally change in 36 minutes because waivers... Claims for waivered players released yesterday who are on waivers, have to be in by 12 noon. I said earlier I was going to go through the mechanics. I don't think maybe I didn't explain it, all completely yet, but I'll do it real quickly here, which is anyone who was released yesterday, if they have less than 4 years accrued experience, and by accrued experience, I mean, like, sometimes it depends. You could be in the league 4 years, but you didn't really play enough games, so it doesn't count for you. That could happen. So, and, practice squad counts, those kinds of things. There's different ways that they count with different ways they don't. Without getting too much into the weeds on that, if you have less than 4 years experience, you can be claimed by any team. You're not a veteran. You're not vested yet. And team says, hey, I like Frank Gore Jr. Bam, he's mine. Then he goes right on your 53, and then the Bills don't get him back anymore. If you're over 4 years experience, you've already completed those 4 years, you released yesterday, you're a free agent. You can decide where to go. Teams can't claim you. That's up to you. And from what we know, that's Mike White, which is practice squad. Yes, that means you can sign with the team's practice squad. So anybody the Bills released yesterday, they want to get back in their own practice squad. If it's a veteran, they can just sign that person back at some point. If it's a less than 4-year player, They have to wait till noon today to see if they get claimed. Let's quickly go to Clover in Texas before the next timeout. Hi, Clover.
Hey, Sal. Thanks for taking my call. How are you?
You got it. I'm doing great. Good to hear from you.
Oh, man. Great to talk to you. Yeah, appreciate all your tweets and updates. Yesterday I was listening all day. A lot of callers talking about concern. They were concerned about the offense and our personnel. I'm really optimistic about the offense. From what you said in camp, like they're trying to get back to what they do with Cole Beasley, that's like they're tailoring the offense back to Josh. That's what Brian Daboll did. And I don't really think it matters with personnel. Like, I go back to where you talked last year about Ty Johnson when Joe Brady took over and he was on the practice squad. But he was able to do what Joe Brady wanted and connect with Josh. So it was to the point where I'm looking for Ty Johnson on the field. This guy came from the practice squad. He was hurt games. I'm like, when's he coming back? So I think, like, it doesn't matter if you're, like, you know, Randy Moss or Megatron. People talk about Ayuk. I think all that matters is that if these guys can fit in with Joe Brady's scheme and can connect with Josh the way he likes to play, it's going to be great. And, you know, I think the fact that we haven't seen it yet in preseason has a lot of people worried. But I know you've seen it in practice. So I'm really excited to see it.
Yeah, I would say this. I think they want to kind of get back to that type of offense where they want to control the middle of the field, Clover. I think that's the best way I could describe it. That's Dalton Kincaid, that's Khalil Shakir, that's James Cook out of the backfield, that's even, you know, to a degree, Keon Coleman, Curtis Samuel lining him up. I think to your point of me saying that Cole Beasley, that's, you know, they don't have a Cole Beasley on this roster. He was amazing at what he did. But Dalton Kincaid is a bigger version of Cole Beasley, if you want to kind of look at him like that, where he knows how to get open in the middle of the field. He's good at run after catch, even better than Beasley was. So I think that's what they want to do. Their whole point, I think, is to get back to controlling the middle of the field, which they haven't really been able to do the last few years. You know what I mean?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I think that's the right approach. But, and you know, like, as far as, you know, people missing Gabe Davis and Diggs, you know, they were more like, you know, down the field threat. And, you know, maybe that's just not, you know, where they want to, you know, focus on. So maybe those guys won't be as missed as we think. But
you got it. Hey, thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Thanks for always checking in with us here, and I appreciate you out there in Texas.
Thanks, Sal. Have a good one.
All right, you got it. We'll take a timeout here. We'll come back on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Sal Capaccio with you. We are 32 minutes away from waiver claims being over. We'll find out shortly after that if the Bills claimed anyone or if they lost anybody who they released yesterday. And then teams can start formulating their practice squad.
I have them 10-7 and getting to the wild card round. I don't believe, obviously, they'll win the division. I have the Jets for that. But look, if you have Josh Allen, you have a chance. I think he's proven to us enough time. For as much criticism as he gets, I think he's unquestionably one of the three best quarterbacks in the league. Trevor, he's had an overall grade above 90 in four straight seasons. The only other quarterback in PFF history to do that is Tom Brady.
Who is that again? Who's talking there, Josh? Dalton Wasserman. Is he PFF? He said PFF at the end, so is he PFF? Okay, there you go. Well, apparently, 103 people who voted on Josh Allen being the most overrated player quarterback, you know, don't agree with that. But I agree with pretty much everything he said, which is, except for one thing, I'll tell you. The Josh Allen, that if the Bills will always have a chance as long as they have Josh Allen, right? I mean, that's what it is. As long as you have Josh Allen, you have a chance. I always say that. People say, Bill's going to be good this year. Man, a lot of changes. Going to take a step back. I'm like, dude, as long as you have Josh Allen, you have a chance. And you don't know. It's a war of attrition. We know that. And thankfully and luckily, Josh has stayed healthy. He has, I think, the longest starting streak of any active NFL quarterback. You know, he's a guy that's available, and he gives you a chance to win every week, and he gives you a chance to win every season. And that's not going to change as long as he's out there. And we see teams every year fluctuate. The best quarterbacks are generally the teams with the best quarterbacks, the teams that are, you know, in the mix at the end. And you might get a couple here or there that are in a different situation. But that's the Bills. And they still have a good roster. Is it as good as it's been? No, I wouldn't sit here and say that. But man, I got people telling me it's a drought era roster. Maybe, I don't know. Is that true? Is it a drought era roster except for the quarterback? I guess you could probably look at some, you know, spots on the team. That's a good question, actually. I thought about that when someone said it to me the other day. It's a drought era roster. I'm like, Okay, let's take the best drought-era team. You put Josh Allen on that team. What happens? Because you know what? There were some pretty decent rosters without the quarterback, and then they had some really putrid ones. So I guess it depends on what drought-era team you're thinking of when you say drought-era roster. I mean, they're better than, you know, when they went 0-8 to start the season, the roster, outside of quarterback even, without Josh Allen on it, obviously. They're better than that, but are they as good as what they were maybe in 11 and what they were in 04 would have been a really good one, right? That's a drought team, 04. That's the first, that's the, you know, Steelers backups coming here and winning the last week of the year to keep you out of the playoffs. That's what that is. So it is interesting how people are looking at the roster, and it could change today. We are 23 minutes away from waivers being, well, the deadline to claim people. Now, listen, it doesn't, stop forever. Waivers are done at 12 p.m. for anyone who's released over the last couple of days. Even if you're released on Saturday, I think you have to wait till today to go on waivers. What does happen, though, starting at 4 p.m. today, there's another new wrinkle I need to tell you about. Waivers end at 4 p.m. today. Then you have, teams have, I think a little bit of a few-hour grace period here, because by 4 p.m. today, you can then put players on injured reserve. And if you do that today, as opposed to yesterday, they can come back after 4 weeks. Now, yesterday, you still were able to do that with two players. And the Bills did, with Matt Milano and Darrington Evans. By the way, when they did it with Milano, they didn't initially say designated to return with Milano, but later we learned that that was the case, and I've confirmed it. Yes, he is on designated to return. So is Darrington Evans, which means both players are eligible to come back after 4 games. With Milano, we know it'll be longer than that, but at least there's hope there. There's optimism by giving him that designation. So, at some point. So today, though, if you put a guy in IR today, he's off your 53. So now you have 52. Let's just say, for example, Mitch Trubisky goes on IR today. This is the example I was talking about earlier. If they put Mitch Trubisky on IR today by 4 p.m. and at the end of the day, transactions, now you have 52 guys in your roster. Now you can sign another player to your active roster. That could go for anybody. But then Mitch Trubisky, in this case, could be anybody, would then be eligible to come back after 4 weeks. And you don't have to declare it right away. Not like yesterday. Yesterday, you had to declare two people if you wanted them to get that designation. Today, you don't. For the rest of the season, you don't. You just do it when it's time. So if you put a guy in our IR today, you just wait. And then when he's ready to come back, you could say designated to return. If not, you just don't do that. Doesn't eat up one of those, you know, eight that you have total. The other part about waivers is, even through the season, as Mike Catalano was talking about earlier with Joe Andreessen, you know, during the season, it might be easier to get a guy onto your practice squad, because what happens is teams start setting their rosters. Then, you know, whether it's tomorrow or a week from now or week 10 or week 16, doesn't matter. If a player is released with less than 4 years experience, he goes on waivers the next day. Like, bam, anybody can claim him. That's just the season now. That's what happens from here on out. We are in regular season rules. We are in regular season mechanics when it comes to the roster. And we are only, 12 days away from the opener. 11, whatever you want to call it. I mean, it's Tuesday. It's Sunday, September 8th. Crazy to think about. So today there's practice. Brandon Bean's going to talk at 2:30, practice at 3. But media today also gets shifted to regular season rules. So that means myself, my media colleagues that you follow and pay attention to that cover the team, we can only watch stretching and then individual position work and then get out of there, because they're working on game plan stuff and they're doing regular season stuff. So that's when that starts today. But then we are able to talk to players, and I'm sure that today one of them will be Joe Andreessen. John in Amherst. What's going on, John? You're on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show.
Hey, Sal. What's going on? I was wondering if you could just kind of elaborate a little bit more on the injury players not being able to be cut. I understand that, you know, same thing with me working at work. If I get injured, my company can't just fire me because I'm useless to them at the time. But you've answered this a few days ago and maybe I missed it, but how does that necessarily work out? And do you think that the injury to Evans led to the cutting of Frank Gore Jr.? Thanks. I'll hang up and listen.
Okay, John. Thank you very much. You don't have to hang up. I'll put you on hold if you want to just hang on. But there you go. He hung up. That's okay. I'll try and answer this best I can. I love your example of you saying in your real life workplace, same thing. You get injured at your real life workplace, they can't just fire you because you're useless to them, right? There's got to be some sort of compensation. You have, you know, injury you know, insurance and things like that, whatever. I mean, you got to go through the process of that. Workman's comp, right? So in the NFL, if a player is injured, a team cannot just outright release them. They can't say, sorry, we have no use for you. We don't want you in our training room eating up space. You're gone. You can't do that. It's in the collective bargaining agreement. It protects players who are injured from that happening. So what you have to do is you either have to kind of carry the player on your roster, and then when they're healthy, they can play for you, or you can place them on injured reserve. And according to NFL rules, you place them on injured reserve. Now they can miss four games. After four games, they can come back if they're healthy enough. Now, this is where an injury settlement comes in. So injury settlements work like this. If a guy gets hurt in practice, whatever, he's in a game, and you say, you know what? You know, he's gonna miss some time, but we gotta fill the roster spot. We only have 53. I mean, we can't just carry him for the next few weeks and just doing nothing. So you put him on IR first. You put him on IR, you know he's gonna miss at least four games. And then the team goes, you know what? We think he's gonna miss a couple weeks. And then the agent and the player go, no, he's gonna miss 6 weeks. Like, well, we don't see it as a 6 week injury. We see it as a 2 week injury. Because the team, you know, because the reason is the player wants to get paid for the number of weeks he's hurt. That protects him. Because he can't get released while he's hurt, right? So you have a negotiation. The agent says it's six, team says it's two, so you settle on four, let's say. Okay, we're gonna pay you for 4 weeks. Go on your way, we're gonna release you. That's called an injury settlement. He gets paid for 4 weeks of work. At that moment, the player can sign with any other team. He is a free agent. Bam, as soon as it happens. He cannot re-sign with the team that just gave him the settlement because that would be circumventing the injured reserve situation, right? But once he waits, the number of weeks of the injury settlement, which in this case would be four, and 3 additional weeks, whatever the injury settlement is, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, 4 weeks, you have to wait that and 3 weeks. Now he can return back to your team. It happens sometimes. It's not normal. Usually a player goes on his way, signs with another team. Second part of your question. I don't think Darrington Evans had anything to do whatsoever with Frank Gore being released. Frank Gore was released because the Bills have James Cook, they have Ray Davis, and they have Ty Johnson. And as much as you people may say, well, I'd rather have Frank Gore than Ty Johnson. I get it. I get the upside. I get what you saw from him. Ty Johnson's a veteran who understands pass blocking, who can return kicks, who's good out of the backfield. Joe Brady used him a lot. They're just, I'm sure, not comfortable yet with Frank Gore doing all those things yet. So he develops. So you hope you get him back. You put him on the practice squad. And maybe there, maybe, because Darrington Evans is an IR, maybe that's your question, actually, that you called in about. Maybe now, because Darrington Evans is on IR, maybe that's how you get Frank Gore Jr. back to their practice squad and say, hey, dude, you are literally like the only backup on the practice squad. Darrington can't play for 4 weeks. If there's an injury, we can elevate you. And that might be a selling point to Frank Gore Jr. to actually get him back. And thank you, by the way. I didn't even think about that until I just walked through it in my own head. All right, we'll take a timeout. We'll come back here in the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. I hope that answered your question. We'll be back here. We'll wrap things up. We're 15 minutes away from waivers ending on day number one in the NFL transactions. Okay. They sent this thing to me. It says, join WGR Sal Capaccio. Hey, that's me. That's me, Josh. I'm going to be out at Northtown Automotive. Northtown Kia, I should say, for the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. That's this show. It's a week from Thursday. So, opening day, opening night of the NFL season. I'm going to be live at Northtown Kia. 3900 Sheridan Drive in Amherst, but I'm going to be live 10 to 12 for this show. Not opening night. Don't go there at night looking for me. Go during the day, during this time. Northtown Kia, 3900 Sheridan Drive in Amherst. That is Thursday, September 5th, from 10 to 12. Not only do you get me, but here's a better reason to come by. You get a Paula's Donut while supplies last. You can also get some awesome WGR 550 swag, and you can enter to win Buffalo Bills merchandise courtesy of Northtown. No purchase necessary. Of course, that's because Northtown Automotive is the official automotive dealer of the Buffalo Bills. So that will be September 5th, a week from Thursday, at Northtown. I am jacked for week one. Like I love like week one of the NFL season. And even the buildup, not just the day itself. I keep thinking about like Sunday, what it's like out there in the field. against the Arizona Cardinals, and I hope, and I'm already looking at weather. By the way, I look today, I'm like, ooh, what's the weather going to be? I know that it's way too far ahead to actually predict. Hammer will tell you that, and he'll come on, you know, on Fridays to tell us the weather. But it looks like it's like 77 and 20% chance rain. I'm like, oh, yeah, which means it probably won't rain. Maybe some sprinkles at some time, whatever. But even if whatever, it's going to usually not be the case. 77, sunny, opening day, Sunday in Orchard Park. Please, I am here for it. And I mean, last week, I always think about last year, the year before, a Thursday night game 2 years ago, a Monday night game last year. Yeah, it's nice on Sunday. I want Sunday afternoon, 1 o'clock, opening NFL around the league. Let's go. Let's do this thing. That's what I'm excited for. I'm going to be excited for it again this year as the Bills take on the Arizona Cardinals. So we're going to dig deep into the Cardinals next week. We'll start getting you ready for week number one in the NFL. Some really interesting games in week number one. And of course, that day that I'm at Northtown Automotive or Northtown Kia next Thursday, that night is opening night. That's Ravens at Chiefs. Woo! Good way to start. Who are we rooting for, Bills Mafia? I think you're rooting for the Ravens, right? Give the Chiefs a loss, but does it really matter? I don't know. Chiefs are going to be there in the end. Maybe you want the Ravens to lose, another team that maybe you just have to kind of think about in the AFC. You'll deal with the Chiefs later. You do play both of them this year. Packers-Eagles the next night. Let's remember that. That's in Sao Paulo, Brazil. I always say that wrong. It's not San Paulo. It's Sao Paulo, Brazil. Right? Sao Paulo. That's Friday night, September 6th at 8:15 p.m. our time. Packers-Eagles. That's a good one on Friday night. Remember, that's a Thursday night game, a Friday night game, an international game there. And then we go to Sunday. Steelers at Falcons. Man, the Falcons are looking pretty good, what they're doing on defense. Of course, Cardinals at Bills here. Titans at Bears. Sneaky good game. Sneaky good. I think, you know, Titans are starting to get some love. I'm still not jumping on them. I don't think they're going to be very good, but I understand why people do when you look around the roster a little bit and think of some of the things they've done. They're probably about a year away. Let's see what Will Levis does. But how about the Bears, right? Caleb Williams. We saw them here. The Bears went 4-0 in preseason. Looked great, but now it's time for the real thing. But they have the Titans. Good chance for them to win that game. Patriots at Bengals. I think that's the largest spread of the weekend. Patriots at Bengals. Texans at Colts. There's always a fun AFC South game opening weekend that goes some way you didn't think it was going to go, right? Jags, Dolphins, two Florida teams getting after it on a Sunday afternoon in Florida. This one's down in South Florida. Miami hosts Jacksonville, and then they host the Bills 5 days later, 5 nights later. Panthers at Saints in the NFC South. Vikings at the Giants. Got to root for the Giants. We should all be anti-Vikings this year, Bills fans, because the Bills have the Vikings second-round pick as part of the Stephon Diggs trade with Houston. Raiders at Chargers. Don't really know what to expect there. I guess Chargers, right? But I mean, like, Justin Herbert's over that injury, it looks like. The debut of Jim Harbaugh. Raiders, I don't know. Raiders might be one of the worst teams in the league, at least AFC. Broncos at Seahawks. That's a rematch from a few years ago when Russell Wilson was in Denver. He's not anymore, but interesting game. That's a 4:05 game along with Raiders-Chargers. 4:25, Cowboys-Browns. That's Tom Brady's first game on Fox. Commanders at Bucks, and then at night, Rams-Lions and Monday Night Football Jets at 49ers. We'll talk a lot more about that next week. We'll talk a lot more about the Bills today. 2:30 p.m. is when we hear from Brandon Bean. 3 p.m. practice. I'll be joining Shope and the Bulldog later today and, of course, tomorrow morning with Jeremy and Joe. Thanks for hanging with me on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show.